Welcome to Living Hope. My name is Ron. I'm one of the elders here at Living Hope. I'm currently serving as pastor. And for those of you who are coming to the leadership training tonight, I'm going to explain to you why I introduce myself that way. If any of the rest of you want to know, you'll have to ask me, okay? So we're still missing Richard, who is joining us here. So you can already tell the morning is a little different. There are multiple chairs, multiple people up here. This morning, as Kevin announced last week at camp meeting, we wanted to take an opportunity as elders just to give you kind of a little bit of an update as to what we see God doing at Living Hope, just confirming some things that we've been sensing. And so if this is your first morning here, welcome. It's good to have you. You've come on a morning, you'll get to hear a little bit about vision and some things that we think God is doing. If you're just passing through, if you would just happen to be here for a morning that you're not sure that you'll even be here again, I hope that something we share encourages you. Even if this isn't your church, something we share or one of the core things we believe God has placed on our hearts, that will encourage you. So joining us yet will be Richard. Now if you've probably noticed by now, we are still missing an elder this morning. There's five of us, and Jay and Sharon Pfeiffer have had the opportunity to spend some time away this week, and they are not back yet this weekend, and Jay gave us his blessing. He's been part of all the preparations. He knows exactly what we're going to say. Well, not exactly, but he has a general idea of what we're going to say, and so I give you his greetings this morning, although he and Sharon are not able to be with us this morning. So it was almost exactly a year ago today. It was the latter part of September, I believe, last year, when the current elder team was installed, was placed in that position. And so we have been working together now for a year. And we thought, you know, it would be good a year into this just to give a little bit of an update of some things that God is showing us and to share some things that are on our heart. You may remember we did this 6 months ago. At the six-month mark, we shared with you some things that God was doing with leadership and some of the roles we were going to be filling as elders. But we also then shared at that time three core values that we believe God was calling us to really pray and work to see established Living Hope. So we get to revisit those this morning, and so we'll do that as we go along here. Just one final comment before we dive in. We often will do this as elders. We had a meeting two Sundays ago with our life group leaders. Roughly every other month, we have a rally for all of our life group leaders, and we got to share with them what we are sharing with you, and we got to get feedback from them also. So it was really good to hear from them and have them speak into some of the things that we sense God is doing, and to hear from them and hear some of their affirmation and some of their suggestions. So part of what we share this morning has come out of that meeting with life group leaders. So basically six things this morning. That's a lot, right? But we're going to move through the first three really quickly. As we were talking about vision, moving forward, core values, one of the things that often comes up in our dialogue is there are certain things that we think have become standard, especially in the North American church. That as we've talked about them, we say, you know, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. We don't want that to be standard at Living Hope. We don't want that to be normal operating procedure at Living Hope. So we'll touch three of them quickly. There could be more, but we'll touch three of them quickly. But then we're going to go on to these three core values. So as I love to do, I've asked these brothers to share so you can hear their voices this morning and not just mine. The first thing that we think is pretty standard in most churches that we're saying we don't want to be like that, and this will take a little explaining, and Rick, I'll probably jump in then a little bit after you're finished, but the statement I have is simply this. It seems standard that the pastor is the voice of the congregation. Now, does that sound like a good or a bad thing? That's become kind of a normal thing, but we're saying there's part of that anyway, that we're saying we don't want that to be like the standard, the Living Hope. What are we talking about? What does that mean?
Well, I think most of us If we've grown up in the church for any length of time, we've come from a model that is like there's a hierarchy of leadership, and the pastor seems to be the go-to guy. Excuse me. We don't see it that way. We are a team of elders, and our purpose is to give guidance and direction to the church. But we believe that the congregation is the church. Everybody here is part of it, and so we don't look to single leadership. I think one of the reasons we went to an eldership-type leadership was that it wasn't a single person that everything fell on. We try to spread out the whole vision, the whole activity, the follow-through on things among the five of us. So Ron doesn't carry, I mean, for years, Ron and Jay carried everything. And so Jay was the single elder. You all remember that? Jay was the elder. Well, now he's just the lobby elder now. But it's the whole idea that you know, we tend to have the idea that everybody out there, all of you out there, are here to receive from one or two people. The reality is that we're all in this together. This is our church. It's the Lord's church, but it's our church. It's not Ron's church. It's not Jay's church or anybody else's. This is a corporate movement. We need to be an army. One of the first things that Ron said to me when we came to this church was, he wants to see the back row become the front lines. Everybody here, everybody that will come here in the future, God has a purpose for them. That there's a place to serve. You have a package of gifts that God has given you. And we want to get behind that and identify what that is, implement it, find a place for it, for you to serve. That's what makes the church go. So.
Good. Good. You know, something just occurred to me as you were saying that. I think I've overlooked something. I should introduce the men that are sitting with me up here. Some of you have only been coming here for maybe a few weeks or a few months. Maybe you've not even met all of these guys. Each of them are elders. And there is one more, Jay Pfeiffer, that I already mentioned, but sitting immediately to my left, who was just speaking, is Richard Reed. He and his wife Carla have been a part of Living Hope for how many years?
Five and a half. Carla's
five and
been
a half.
Here about six.
Okay. So a number of years, Richard and Carla are involved in life group oversight. Richard is involved in a lot of men's ministry things. You'll see he has his hands on. Next to Richard is Kevin Wanger. Kevin and his wife Glenda have been coming here for an even longer time. You guys started around 2000-ish, wasn't it?
2001.
So you're in like the 13-year neighborhood. And Kevin gives some oversight to our children's ministry, working with Carol Ash in doing that. Kevin also has been assisting Jay quite a bit in the administrative oversight of the church. That's Jay's primary role, Jay Pfeiffer, who is not here. He and his wife Sharon have been a part of Living Hope since its beginning. And then on my far left or your far right is Christopher Peters. He and his wife Mary Grace have been part of Living Hope for a few years now, three-ish maybe, somewhere in that neighborhood, for a shorter time. So Christopher is not only the youngest elder in age, but he is the one that is more recently come here to Living Hope. Christopher, as you've seen numerous times, is involved in worship. He gives some oversight and elder direction to worship along with Richard. And that's out of the way now. That's who these men are. And so, Kevin, let's touch on the next one then. So the first one was, these are the things, again, we don't want to see be the norm at Living Hope. So the first one was, we don't want to see this idea or concept that the pastor is really like the only voice of the congregation. The second one, I'm sorry, Christopher, this one goes to you, I think. This idea that the vision of the church is carried forward by the gifting of the leaders. Say a little bit about that. We don't want that to be the norm or to be seen as the norm at Living Hope.
Yeah, in our discussions, we were talking about how a lot of times the old model of church, you'd have one pastor and they would come up with the grand scheme and the plan and implement it, and everybody was required to fall into place and volunteer in those locations that maybe aren't their passion. And but we, you know, we're trying to fulfill those programs. And as we were talking, we feel like we want to turn that on its head, and we want to hear from you what your passions are, where the Lord is leading you, that as a body we can collectively gather where God is leading Living Hope And, you know, it would be our job to cast the vision and talk about core values and set up a framework where those type of things can be implemented on the ground level. But for us, we don't want to just go from, well, the one pastor dictating a program to five people dictating a program to everybody else. But some of the verses that came up when we were talking about it are Ephesians 4. And it talks about apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists,
prophets.
Prophets. That collectively they prepare God's people for works of service. And there's five of those, and there's five elders. But don't equate that way, because we don't cover them, and we need all you to help cover those things. So as a body, we're building up the body for works of service, for within the body and outside in the community. The word prepare means to mend, as like mending nets. So I get the picture that we're together preparing the body of Christ to be fishers of men. So we want to have everybody involved as in the body. The other passage we talked about was 1 Corinthians 12, where an ear can't say, I'd rather be an eye, or an ear can't say, I'd rather just not participate at all. Collectively, we want to use everybody's giftings to strengthen the body and to move forward in what God has living hope.
Yeah, you've covered this well, Christopher. I just want to reiterate, you know, that's embarrassing. Just that quickly, that thought just came in and went out just like that. So let me see if it comes back around again. The model that the leaders' gifts are what move a church forward is something we want to fight against. Oh, hey, the thought just came back. You might have. Thank you for clapping, Karen. I appreciate that. That's a knowing clap there. That's a knowing clap. See, if I keep talking about it, I miss it again. You might have picked up from Christopher's comments. He wasn't saying this at all, and I think you did a good job of clarifying. But in case you did, you might ask the question, well, are you saying then that leadership isn't important? Like, okay, you want the body to be the body and to pursue their passions and all that kind of thing. So are you saying that leadership isn't important? Of course not. Of course not. Leadership is very important. But we view our role as, or maybe I should say we measure our role by the degree to which all of you are involved in and pursuing that which God calls you to. Now, there will be part of that that we'll work together as a body. There will be part of that you're just going to be doing something in your neighborhood that we're going to bless you and say, that is awesome. But we think that the norm in the church is pretty much for everybody to look to leadership and say, tell us what to do. What do we do next? What do you want us to do? And there's a place for that in some settings, but we're saying that, you know, this thing that the leaders are always leading the charge. We do lead the charge, I agree that, but we're doing things and we're putting everything in order and we're setting up all the programs and all that. That's become, I think, the norm in too many churches, and we want to say, no, that's not the norm. We're all part of the body and we're all serving. Our role really is to see people put in the right places and release to do what God's calling them to do. So
may I add something to that?
Sure.
Just in terms of personal testimony, when I first came to Living Hope, one of the questions I asked Ron was, I basically said, this is who I am. This is what my heart is. Is there a place for me in his church? And he said, absolutely. And I think that that is what we're trying to impart to people, that yes, no matter who you are, where you've come from, what your background is, what your gifts are, there is a place for you here. It's our job, we feel, to help you figure out what that is and find a place for it.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Kevin, hit one more yet. I think most of you agree that there's almost this unspoken thing, especially in the North American church, and it goes like this. It's all about Sunday. It's all about Sunday. We don't want Living Hope to be like that. Why not, Kevin?
Mainly because God is moving throughout the week and not just Sunday morning. I mean, we are very excited about the way God's moving Sunday morning. There's things happening here, but that's one day of the week. What about the other 6 days? The other 6 days, many of you have been, and we are encouraged by the numbers of people who are involved in small groups, who are involved in men's groups, mixed groups, ladies' groups, youth group, you know, just all those groups that God is moving, and guess what? Those are meeting on days of the week other than Sunday. So is God limited to what happens here today, which is Sunday? Absolutely not. God is moving a lot of other days of the week. And one of the things that we see God doing, and as I said, we're excited, and we see God continue to grow and birth that vision, is to have people get connected. And part of that process is we're beginning to see people touched in ways that would not happen here on Sunday morning. There's times for altar calls here. There's times for ministry here, but it's limited. You know, the children's ministry time is ending, and we have to wrap up. We have to go home. There's just limited time, but throughout the week, God is choosing to touch many lives. We're hearing a lot of stories in the way God is touching lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the church must not be like a football team. And here's what I mean by that, especially the pros. Okay, Sunday is big day, football day. The coaches, the staff, the players, everybody works hard all week long for 3 hours on Sunday. That's what it's all about. In football, it's all about Sunday. In pro football, it's all about Sunday. In college football, it's all about Saturday. But I think the church can slip into that mindset where, like, Sunday is the main event and everything has to be about Sunday. No, no, no. Sunday should be a celebration of what God is doing Monday through Saturday. Amen? Sunday is not the main event. Sunday is a celebration of the week where God is moving and speaking and touching and healing people. You're going to add that.
If I may add just one more thing. One of the things that we talked about as a team, and that is desiring in the future to allow more opportunities on Sundays for stories, testimonies of what God is doing throughout the week. You know, Ron mentioned about it being a time of celebration, and we really do want to celebrate what God's doing throughout the week in those groups and relationships and ways that all of you are beginning to open up and involve others in your lives. But we really desire and we want to incorporate and work much more diligently at getting people to share stories about what God is doing, because testimonies have a powerful effect, not just for the person sharing it, for others to hear stories of how God is moving. It gives hope. It gives encouragement. It lets us know that, you know what, if God did that in that person's life, he can do it in my life as well. And it doesn't have to be just Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, well, those were three things just quickly that we're saying, okay, we don't want those to be the norm. We don't want the pastor's voice to be really the only voice. We don't want leadership to be the ones that are viewed as, okay, you guys are gifted. You carry this whole thing on your shoulders. And then, like we just touched on here, we don't want Sunday morning to be seen as like, this is where ministry happens. I think too many people can fall into this mindset where Sunday is their spiritual input, and then the rest of their lives, the rest of their week, they just kind of do their thing, and then they'll come back Sunday for like another vitamin, another pill of someone encouraging me and helping me sing a worship song or whatever. So, well, let's move on from that. By now, you've probably guessed by looking at the screen behind me what we want to talk about this morning. But back in March, when we shared our six-month update as a team, we talked about three core values of we want Living Hope to become a family where three things are happening. And as we've talked about this, you know, we're always talking about these things as an elder team. We boiled it down to three words. And this was the heart of the things we shared in March, and now we've just boiled it down to three words. And the words you see on the screen behind you, loved, transformed, and sent. Now, I'm sure most of you see those. You get a pretty quick idea probably what we're referring to. But we just want to break those down a little bit more. So let's dive in and do that. The first word, loved, we want everyone here and everyone we come in contact to know that they are loved. We sang a song at the end of the worship set this morning that said, I was made for love. Now, I don't know how you feel about that. I know sometimes men especially, they said, that seems girly. Really? I was made for love? That sounds girly. Sounds feminine. Help us with that, Richard. How's that for a setup?
Shall I lower the octave of my voice a little bit? If any of you know me at all, you know that I'm an experiential guy. I'm a relational guy. I'm not much for structure. I like the structure, though, because it's necessary. I've learned from these guys. But when Carl and I first came to Living Hope, it's the first time I've ever walked into a church and felt completely loved and accepted and wanted for who I was. No question. I think that Living Hope does a really, really good job at this. Is there room for improvement? Is there room for expansion? Obviously there is. But it's when people walk through this door, we want them to feel like they're accepted here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from. You're accepted here. You're wanted here. We believe that you've got something to offer. People here are very friendly. The greeting team does a great job at welcoming people. Henry welcomed me, what, 3 times this morning, right, Henry? Just because I can't sit still. But, you know, things like prayer take on. That it's not just the leadership that's praying for people. You look around the congregation at different times, people are praying for one another. That's outstanding. That's outstanding to know that you have something in you that you can impart to somebody else to bring comfort and encouragement. That's wonderful. We want this to be a safe place, that you can come here and know that whoever you are, whatever you have to say, is going to stay here. It's going to be kept in confidence. You're not going to be criticized. You're not going to be judged. You're not going to be beat up for something that you've done. You belong here. It's one of the things that I think the church has had upside down for a lot of years. It's like, in order to come and be a part of a church, you have to have the right behavior. You have to change somehow before you can belong and be a part of. No, that's bad. Wrong answer, right? We want you to know that you belong. Everybody that walks through this door, first time, 100th time, 1,000th time, you belong here and you are accepted. A willingness to connect with each other. That really is done best through life groups. So if you're not involved in a life group, I want to challenge you to consider it. There are several. We have probably, what, a half a dozen life groups now? Something like that. We want to see them grow and multiply, right, Donna? Multiply. We want to spread it out so that everybody can have an opportunity to be part of that. And the support that's here. I don't know how to add to that word, support. People walk in here, I feel very much accepted and supported for who I am and for what God's given me to do. There's no question. When I have something and I know it's sometimes it's out of the box, I feel supported by these guys, and no matter what the approach is, what the issue is. We want to be able to do that for one another up here, but also for all of you out there. We're interested in who you are and what you have to give, and we want to get behind it. A couple of things that probably we're not quite as good at in the love category is follow-up. It's easy to meet somebody and greet somebody on a Sunday morning, but who are they and where are they beyond Sunday morning? You know, connecting with people, inviting them over for lunch, getting their phone number or making a phone call, sending an email, anything like that that just helps people to feel like, yeah, I am wanted to be a part of this place. And then to tell the stories that happen, I think Kevin touched on it, you know, to be able to have a place where you can talk about what God's doing in your life. You know, I know there's several here that I could name. I won't do it, but there's several here that could get up here this morning and say, this is what God has done for me this week. It's just, and that's what really encourages people. People want to be someplace where they feel like there's something going on, where God is moving, where God is touching and transforming lives. And so we don't know that. There's only 5 of us. We don't know what's going on in everybody's lives. But if you talk about it with one another, it gets out, and people hear about it. People want to be part of that. So. Yeah. Fill in, gentlemen.
The foundation, obviously, for the love that we can share with one another. And Jesus said, of course, you remember that's how the world will know that we're his disciples, because we love each other. But that's, of course, based on the love that he has for us.
That's amazing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what 1 John says. It says, we love because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. If we're not walking in that love relationship individually, then we don't have it to give. So that's the priority, is his love for us, but don't hang on to it. Let it flow out.
This is a good example of what we were talking about with everybody looking to leaders to do everything. What Rick was just saying, and we've heard some testimonies, usually through life group leaders, of people that have said that their first time coming to Living Hope, they were really nervous. Like, am I going to be dressed properly? Will someone judge me because I'm not dressed up enough, or I'm too dressed up, or whatever? You know, will anybody talk to me? We've been blessed by hearing some of those testimonies of people saying that all of those concerns were put to rest very quickly because they felt accepted. Now, I'm sure there are those that might say that wasn't their experience. You know, and everybody's a little different in that regard, but we have really been blessed by what we've seen you doing. Because again, there's just a few of us, but as you guys become loving and accepting and reaching out to people, then the body becomes that way. We can't do that alone. Let's go to the next one then, Kevin. The middle word on the screen behind us is the word transform. So we have the word love. We want to see a body where people know and fully believe that they are loved. And that tends to lead to something then in this whole area. So talk about that one, Kevin.
Again, as a team, we've talked about what we've seen God doing, what we desire to see going forward. A lot of the things we're talking about this morning are things that we as a team, as a leadership team, have really been sensing God beginning to move and and continuing to move and where God wants to move in the future. And, you know, again, in transformation, everyone has a story. Everyone's background has a story to it. Everyone's background has good things and bad things about it. Some are positive, some are negative. And we believe that God is calling people here to Living Hope, has called, will continue to call people here who they may look at their life and say, wow, what a mess. And God says, what an opportunity to change it, to transform it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what the past was, yeah. But God is in the business of making everything new. And we want to be partners in that. We want to join with all of you. We want to join as a body, people who are going to be coming through the doors and saying, what an opportunity for God's power and glory to be manifested. Just some verses that I was reflecting on this week as I looked at the whole thing of transformation. God is showing and will continue to work out in our lives change. Isaiah 43:18 through 19 says, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it is springing up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So God is saying, don't dwell on the past. The past is history. It is what it is. And God is saying, I'm going to do new things. It's springing up, or you're not going to be aware of it. And we get the joy of partnering with all of you in seeing lives transformed. And that's the cool thing, because we are seeing people beginning to open up more about their past, willing to invite people to pray with them, sharing, connecting one-on-one, connecting through life groups, as we've already said. That's part of the transformation process. God chooses to use the body to do his work. God could do it all himself, but he chooses to use the body. And we're all part of the body here to aid and facilitate in that transformation that God wants to do. 2 Corinthians 3:17 through 18 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Again, God is in the business of changing us from glory to glory. What we are when we first come through the doors here at Living Hope, whether it's been a week ago, 10 years ago, whatever it is, we are being changed, and God is changing us. And again, we get to celebrate and be a part of that process. So we believe that God is calling all of us to partner in the whole role of transformation that he is doing and has chosen to work through each of us as we invest our lives in one another.
Yeah, like Kevin said, you know, we have had that opportunity, and we know some life group leaders have had that opportunity over the past number of months where people will begin to open up about their past, open up about some pains, and open up about some hurts and some disappointments. And for those of you who are doing that, that is just a blessing for us to be able to come alongside of people, whatever their story is. It's an opportunity for us to demonstrate the love of the Father. And notice how the transformation part follows the love part. And I'll talk later about the sequence and so forth. But anyway, it's when someone believes that they are loved, that they're accepted, that they can get to that place where they can feel like, okay, I think it's safe to say this. I think it's safe to say this. So I hope that more of you are getting to that place, whether it might be just with one other person in the body, where you're getting to the place where you're saying to yourself, I think it's safe to say this. Because like I said last Sunday at camp meeting, when someone says that and it is met with compassion and it's met with tenderness, the door just came wide open for transformation, for healing, for taking steps forward. So we all play a part in that, absolutely. So the third word you see under these is, or under the first two, is the word sent. Christopher, we've talked about this word different times, and we've even recently, one of the things that came up in the Life Group Leaders Rally was, you know, what exactly does this word convey? Because, again, like in the normal church mode, when you see the word sent, you might think, okay, missionary, Africa, Asia, something like that. And that would all be correct. I'm not knocking that. That's all correct. But that's not the entirety of the word. So talk a little bit about that, yeah, about that word.
I wanted to start with that. What do we mean when we say sent? It's obviously a biblical word. Jesus sent his disciples. The early church sent Paul and Barnabas. God sent his only son. I mean, that's the ultimate example that we have there. I guess to answer that, I thought of two questions. Are you in places and situations where you regularly interact with non-believers? Are you in those situations? I think of a bad example of that would be a monastery where there's a lot of monks doing a lot of religious things, but they typically have no contact with the outside world. And so they're not able to be in a sent fashion like Jesus is. And then the second question I had was, if you are among the lost, are you intentionally and actively engaged in their lives? So it's one thing to be going to a public school where you're surrounded by people who need to know Jesus, and it's another thing to actually intentionally and actively engage yourself in the lives of the people around you. So sent, you can be sent to Africa and not ever say anything about Jesus to anybody at all, and maybe have not fulfilled the true idea of what it means to be sent. So I don't know where you are in either one of those questions. Maybe, you know, you think about the first question, am I in places? And maybe you can say, well, really, I'm not. I don't have, you know, 95% of my acquaintances or people around me are from this church or other believers. And so then I would encourage you to think about ways that you can put you into those situations to be involved with the world around you. And then when you're in those situations, you know, actively think about and listen to the Holy Spirit about how you can share the love of Jesus. I was also thinking about the three things we talked about at the beginning, the kind of the things we want to get away from. I thought in this instance as well, there's some things where in the past think that the model would have been, you know, you need to bring your friend or your neighbor or your schoolmate to church so the pastor can tell them about Jesus. And that's something we want to get away with. The body is out there, and it's everyone's responsibility to share the love of Jesus with the people around them. So that was another kind of mental or paradigm shift that maybe we want to talk about. And then secondly, the church does exist to be loved and accepted, and it does exist to be transformed. But in the end, we need to move beyond that to be sent. And so if you're coming here for a Sunday morning experience and you put in your 25 cents to get your Bible verse out on a Sunday morning, and that's the way it is for you, we want to encourage you to move beyond that. And I guess you're going to talk a little bit about the progression of those words, and they're not necessarily a linear fashion, but if you've been transformed one day, you can share with somebody who has yet to receive transformation. And so that's what we like to encourage you in. If you've been loved and you've experienced the love of Jesus, you can share that love with somebody else. Even if we're all on that path still, we're not all fully healed, we're not all fully freed, we're not all fully transformed until we see his face. So we're all on that journey together, but wherever you are on that journey, you have an opportunity to share. And wherever you are in your sent fashion, So that's, I guess I would just say, what are the practical things that you can think about to when you move from this place on a Sunday morning on how you can share the love of Jesus with the people around you?
Yeah, thanks, Christopher. As I was thinking again this morning about what we were going to share, my mind went to a four-word phrase that's painted above the welcome desk out in the lobby. Now, just take a moment, and just by raise of your hands, how many of you feel pretty confident you know what those four words are? It's painted right across above the welcome desk. How many of you think you're pretty confident you know what those words say? Okay. I see a few. I see a few. I'd probably be the same. I'd be like, oh man, I look at it all the time. I don't remember what they say. The four words painted above the, on like that soffit above the welcome desk are really like a four-word slogan that Living Hope has had since its beginning in 1988. And the words are transformed by encountering God. Remember seeing that before? Transformed by encountering God. And as I was reflecting on that, you know, that's been like one of the core things that Living Hope has said from the beginning. And it feels to me like with the three words that are behind us, we're adding a necessary piece before that, and we're adding a necessary piece after that. It is a wonderful thing when people are transformed by encountering God. But when they know that they are loved by both people around them and they know that God loves them, it then makes that encounter with God a safe place. There are those, and there are probably some sitting in this room this morning that would think, if I really had an encounter with God where we were really open about what's in my life, my thought life, my actions, what I do, that would be a really, really scary experience. Like if I told you that when you go home today, God will be waiting in your house to have a little chat, how would you feel right now? I think all of us would be a little bit, whoa, what's going to happen? But when you know that you're loved, it makes that encounter with God a safe place. Yeah, he might tell us something that he needs to speak some correction to, but it's going to be done with love. And then when you're transformed, and Christopher touched on this, we're not transformed just so we can have a happier life. That's a byproduct, but we're transformed then that we are in a position then to share that love and that transformation with other people. To repeat something Christopher said, I guess these are sort of geometric terms when you say, let's not look at these words in a linear fashion, but in a circular fashion. Or maybe use an electrician's term, let's look at them in parallel rather than in series. What are you talking about? We don't want you thinking that once I fully and completely grasp the love of God and I've got like a master's degree in God's love, then my life can start to change. And once my life is completely changed and every sin is gone and I lead a perfect life like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham, then I may have a chance to actually impact someone else if I tell them my story. Please don't view it that way. That's viewing it in a linear fashion where this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens. I think it's easy to see, like Christopher said, the moment you begin to sense that there is a God who loves you unconditionally, that starts to change you. Like on the spot, you might not understand hardly any of it, but it starts doing something inside of you. And like Christopher also said, once you understand that, guess what? You have something to share. You don't know all the ins and outs of it, but you have something to say, like, hey, I'm still not sure what's going on, but I'm beginning to discover that God actually loves me, and it's starting to cause me to think a little differently about my life. So that happens, that can happen very quickly, and many of you will acknowledge or will agree with, I believe, that even when you're out in that sent place where you begin sharing things with people, God will show you something else about your own life, which takes you back to that place of, oh, how he loves me, and Holy Spirit, let's work on this. You know, these three things are constantly circling around. So don't view them as distinct series, like I have to do this completely, then I'll move to step two, and then I'll move to step three. They're a circular thing, and they come and they flow in and out of one another, but we believe that those three ideas are really what capture what the church, not just Living Hope, this is not some little specific Living Hope vision, this is what we believe the church is called to. The body of Jesus Christ is called to these things, so we want to be called to these things also. As I think we've communicated a little bit, as we shared with life group leaders, there's no doubt that the bottom one on the list, the sent category, is the one that we need to grow the most in. As leaders, we've said we need to grow the most in this. It's easy to do the church stuff. That's easy. It's easy to prepare sermons. It's easy to have a Sunday morning gathering where everybody likes you and everybody wants to be here. But the sent part, that's more challenging. And many of us have really got to look at how our lives are ordered and structured, and are we even, like Christopher said, in a position to do that? So that's something that we believe is our role as leaders, to continue to challenge and encourage you as we need to challenge and encourage ourselves in that.
And I don't want that to seem like it's a daunting task. Like,
right.
And in the past, sometimes the church has come up with some sort of method that you can do that will enable you to evangelize. And really, it's, I mean, if you see Jesus, he spent his time with his disciples, and he spent the time out to the synagogues and with the crowds, and he just spent time with people. So it's not to make it sound simple, because it's not going to be necessarily, but as you're doing your life, you can invite people along. Or as other people around you are doing their life, you can join them. And whatever it is, I'm going to go play soccer with my boys, and then I'm going to invite some other people along that I know that can join us with soccer, and we're just going to hang out together, and Jesus will come up along the way. So I don't want to make it seem like it's you walk out from here and say, wow, I don't know if there's any way I could do that. You live your life, you go to the grocery store, you do whatever the things that you do during the week, and if you leave that margin and leave that opportunity there to meet with people and be with people, the opportunities come up.
Yeah, talking about encountering Jesus. If you're born again, Jesus is in you. So every place you go, every person you meet, there's the potential for an encounter. If you're not comfortable with that, it's as easy as coming here on a Sunday morning and introducing yourself, saying hello to somebody that you haven't met yet. That's the beginning. It's about building relationships wherever you are. Easier to do it within these four walls. The goal is to do it outside, in our workplace or school or in social relationships or whatever. But it really isn't a complex thing. We've been given a commission by the Lord to go and share his love with people. That's what it's for. We have a mindset, I think, in the church that church is for us. Maybe initially that's true, but ultimately it's for him and the people out there that don't know him. So it's not complicated. Sometimes it's hard. For some people it's easy. Others, some, I mean, Carla and I started getting to know people here just by having them over for lunch or for dinner. You don't have to talk about Jesus. You don't have to talk about the church. Just have a meal together.
Yeah. One of the things that we talk about, both with life group leaders and again as elders often, we talk about this often, life groups, and life groups are what we call the small groups that meet through the week. Some of them meet every week, some of them meet every other week. They really provide one of the best settings for all three of these things to take place. You know, you get yourself connected with a group of 6, 8, 10 people, and you begin to experience this acceptance and this love that people are to have one another, and you hear about God's love. And you really can begin to see, if people are open and transparent, that God begins working in people's lives and transforming people's lives. Again, like it was, I guess, Kevin, I think you were saying earlier how, yeah, when, you know, a couple leaders or one leader up here on a stage and there's 200, 250 people out there, you know, that's overwhelming to think that we're going to meaningfully minister to even any more than 6 or 8 of you on a given Sunday. Obviously, the words we share, we hope, are encouragement. To actually have one-on-one contact with you is a very daunting task. But when you break it down into manageable pieces, which is what a life group is, you really open the door for that. Transformation begins. And this sent thing, when a life group can be encouraging one another, hey, how's it going with your boss at work? okay? How's it going with your neighbor? You said you were trying to get to know your neighbor. How's that going? You encourage one another. So life groups are just a wonderful place where all these things take place. And we would also say to any of you leading any type of ministry at Living Hope, hold this framework over what you do. Is the love of God being displayed and talked about? Is this ability of the Holy Spirit to transform lives, is that part of what you're believing and what you're leading towards? And then are you communicating and are you living out this concept that God is sending us? Jesus is sending us as disciples to whatever it is, to wherever you are. This might be a way to say it, and it sounds this might be a little backwards to the way we think normally in the church. But Jesus is sending you where you already are. That doesn't make sense. But he is calling you, he is sending you as a disciple to where you already are. Where the home that you live in, that's a big one, okay? How many of you agree? That's a big one. Being Jesus, being salt and light at home with your husband, with your wife, with your kids, with your parents. That's a big one. Jesus is sending you to your house. Jesus is sending you to your workplace to be salt and light with that boss that just annoys you like crazy. The workplace, your neighborhood, all those things. Jesus is sending you to those places. I'm pretty well wrapped up. I'm going to close with one more thing about stories, but Kevin, you're holding a microphone. Looks like you're going to say something.
You know, as you were saying that about small groups and as Christopher was sharing about being sent and everything, that's a hard thing, and I know just in the life group that I'm a part of, one of the guys was sharing just a story of being able to share his faith and witness to someone that comes into the workplace on a regular basis. And so we begin to partner with him in praying for that person and praying for those encounters and praying for wisdom and the application of Spirit-led wisdom as those conversations take place and everything. And the thing about being sent is probably daunting. It is challenging, and some of us, you know, it stretches us. But when you know that someone is rooting for you and praying for you in your small group, makes it easier. I mean, it really does make it easier. So that, again, is the partnership role of how we encourage one another. You know, I love the verse in Hebrews that says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward loving good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in their habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So if anything that you remember that we say this morning, you know, in relation to these three words, is that we, first of all, have to know God's love, but we have to be joining with others. God uses the body to work through us to accomplish these things that we believe that God is calling us to here at Living Hope. Love transformed and sent. So be a part of what God is doing. Be connected and be willing to connect and make yourself vulnerable and open.
I love that, Kevin. Spur one another on to love and good deeds. I heard some of you might be familiar with the name Graham Cook. He is a speaker, teacher. I heard him say some time ago that the church needs to stop seeing itself as an audience and more as an army. Now, if you don't like the military analogy, you can say more as a team, but the church is not an audience. You know, the North American mind said, okay, we're going to go to a building where there's going to be a whole bunch of people. We're all going to sit, and we're going to listen to somebody sing. We're going to listen to somebody teach, and then we're going to go home. That's kind of an audience mentality. I'm going to come. You're going to perform. You're going to give to me. You're going to teach me. You're going to tell me something I need to hear, and then I'm going to go on from there. All those things I said have their place. But if that's all the church is, then the body of Christ really becomes an audience. And that's not what Jesus intended. He never intended for his disciples to be an audience. He said, you guys are going to be on the front line. You're going to be leading this thing called the early church. You're going to be getting, you know, shot at. I know they didn't really have guns, but you're going to have your life is going to be on the line all the time. And I know that sounds big and lofty, but that is the vision, you know, that Living Hope, and again, I don't think this is a Living Hope specific vision. This is what the church is called to. We simply want to be what the church is called to do, the Church of Jesus Christ. And the Church of Jesus Christ is not called to be an audience. It's called to be a body, to be a team that's moving the kingdom forward. And like Paul said in the body analogy, and each one has his part, her part. One of the things, just this little phrase we've kicked around as a challenge to the congregation, is simply to ask you this question. What one thing could you do? What one thing could you do in your week, in your schedule, in your planning, in your praying, in your giving? What one thing could you do that would make a difference in the kingdom, that would contribute to the team effort of the body of Christ? Again, not just Living Hope, the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, and things that are moving forward. So I'll leave you with that challenge. What one thing can you do? And then we talked about stories several times. We want to hear your stories. I would love to have an inbox full this week of emails or texts or whatever. What is God doing? Like, we're seeing these things. We tested them with the life group leaders. That was a really good conversation. What do you see God doing at Living Hope? What is happening in your life? We would love to hear those stories, because we want to share those as we move on here, because I agree with Kevin. It's when we hear the stories that it puts legs to this thing of, okay, this is actually what God's doing. So our email addresses, all four of us and Jay included, are on the back. This brown panel on the back, this part of your bulletin that you probably never flip over to, but under leadership, all the elders are listed, five of us, and there's email addresses. So if you want to send one and copy it to all of us, or just send it to one of us and we'll copy it to the rest of us, we would really love to hear your perspective on what you think God is doing at Living Hope, and also your stories of how you're seeing these three words. Do you have a loved story for us? You felt acceptance, you felt loved. Do you have a transformation story for us where God is working something in your life or in the life of a loved one that you're seeing as transformation? Or do you have a sense story for us? You know, I've started talking to my neighbor over the past month, and it's amazing that the things that are coming into our conversation, just those stories. We would love to hear those. So anything else? Anything else you guys want to add yet?
I do want to say something. I have a pastor's heart, so I talk. What this church has been through over the last year and a half or 2 years, we believe with all of our hearts has been purposed by God. We're hearing other people in the congregation who've had visions or had revelations from God saying the same thing. God has a specific, really, really exciting purpose for this church, but it's going to take all of us to do it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're not here by accident. God hasn't planted Living Hope where He has. There's a river that flows under this church physically. We want to see that river flow outside the four walls. We believe that we're trying, as a team of elders, we are trying, and Ron mentioned it, trying to be transformed into the image that God has for His church. Do we know what that looks like every step of the way? No, we don't. But we want to follow Him and let Him change us into His church, so that the church can be an influence and effective in touching lives and bringing love to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to share more about this in a few weeks, but it is truly a blessing for us to watch God at work in your life, to see the steps that you are taking, the steps of obedience you're taking, the way you've been open to with one another. I mean, we're starting hearing some of the stories, and to see the way that you have embraced people that are new in the congregation or maybe have a struggle in their life and the way you're surrounding them. So that is such a blessing to us, and we simply hold these three words in front of you and say, this is how we want to be measured. This is what we want to set our sights on. That people here know that they're loved, they understand God's love for them, and they experience that love through us. That people know that God is a God of transformation. Don't ever accept this thought that, well, this is the way I am. I've struggled with this all my life. I guess I'm going to struggle with this my whole life. God is a God of transformation. And also, God is a sending God. God is a God that sends us where we already are. He may also send you places you're not yet, but He is certainly going to start by sending you where you already are. So, all right, let's see. Kevin, I'm going to ask you to close in prayer, just to ask God's continued leadership and guidance, and then we're going to dismiss you. We're all up front here. If you want to talk to us, if we can pray for you in some way, or if you want to share something with us, we're going to linger up here. Otherwise, encourage one another. Bless one another as you go about your day, as you leave this place. So let's stand. Let's stand. And Kevin, lead us in prayer.
God, I thank you so much for the way that you have called Living Hope to be, as its name has, a beacon of hope to each of us, to our lives, to our families, to the community. And thank you, God, for the plans that you have for us. God, I thank you that we just begun to scratch the surface of what you want to do in and through each one of who is part of Living Hope Community Church. Thank you for the opportunity this morning just for the elders to share our hearts and what we really believe that you are doing here and what you are calling us to do in the future, God. It's exciting to be partnering in what you want here at Living Hope. And God, we just humbly ask you for wisdom. We want to be good followers. We want to be listening. We want to be following and being obedient to what you are calling us into. And God, I pray for each person here this morning in the mighty name of Jesus that you would help us to grasp that calling that you have, that we would understand your love, we would understand the transformation that you are doing in and through us, and that we would know the way that you are calling us to be sent into the lives of those around us this week that we will be encountering. So God, I pray for grace. I ask for power. I ask for confidence. I ask for hope. Would you place hope in those situations this morning where there may not be hope? May there be hope, God, through the power of Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And may we just be able to have that story that we can share with someone this week. As Ron just shared and say, what is that one thing that we can do? God, I pray that you would impart that to each person here this morning, the one thing in one of those areas that they can implement and see you work in their lives this week. So I pray that you would just speak that, Lord, even this morning, that one thing that you want us to do. And so, God, I pray that the rest of today would just be a day that we would just be reflecting on what your call is for us and that we would be good followers. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you, God, for the purpose that you have for us. And, God, we just go forth with confidence knowing that you are leading. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. You're dismissed.